This is the KVNF News for Wednesday, July 31st, 2013. I'm Marty Derlin. The Denver Post reports FBI agents and Montrose Sheriff's investigators have released composite images of a woman whose body was found 19 years ago on the Uncompahgre Plateau. The woman reportedly had a form of scoliosis that affected her joints and spine and was believed to be between the ages of 35 and 45. Her body was discovered in July of 1994 near Windy Point, a popular hunting and camping area. She was believed to be a white female with reddish-brown hair, approximately 5.5 feet tall. Authorities are asking anyone who recognizes the illustrations, available at thedenverpost.com/coldcases, to call their local FBI agents. The Post also reports that former Congressman Tom Tancredo, who announced his bid for the governor's race in May, is calling on Governor John Hickenlooper to debate a proposed tax increase of nearly $1 billion to fund Colorado public schools. According to the Post, that initiative needs to gather enough signatures by August 5th to put it on the November ballot. Hickenlooper has already voiced support for the tax increase. Tancredo called on Hickenlooper to elaborate on his reasons for supporting the measure, saying the governor has failed to explain his position. Hickenlooper said earlier this month he was open for public discussion on the proposed increase and would possibly be making radio and TV appearances. The Telluride Watch reports that some area residents are angry about a decision by Montrose County Commissioners to award a nearly $462,000 contract for airport improvements at Hopkins Field in Nucla. According to the Watch, the contract was awarded to Reams Construction Company on Monday at a special commissioner's meeting. The money will go toward completing a new terminal at the airport and other site improvements. Some residents have questioned whether the improvements are even necessary, while others are concerned that the contract is a conflict of interest. John Reams is the owner of Reams Construction, but is also a member of the Montrose County Airport Advisory Board, as well as Western Slope representative for the State Department of Transportation's Aeronautical Board. Most of the funding for the improvements comes from a Department of Transportation Division of Aeronautics grant. The county will have to match $44,000 of the contract. The Watch reports that Director of Aviation Lloyd Arnold said pilots have come to expect the upgraded facilities that the project will provide. Montrose resident and pilot Bill Patterson claimed the money would be better spent at the Montrose Regional Airport, saying the Nucla Airport does not pay for itself and that upgrades in Montrose would be a smarter investment. Tensions at the commissioner's meeting ran high, as the Watch reports. Resident Roger Brown was told to sit down by Commissioner Ron Henderson after Brown talked over his allotted time. Brown responded by saying Henderson was being rude, and one resident reportedly walked out of the meeting, saying Commissioner David White was, quote, sick, after the commissioner stated that $44,000 is a small investment. Montrose County Attorney Robert Hill says he sees no conflict of interest with the contract being given to Reams Construction. As the Special Monitoring Projects Coordinator for the Rocky Mountain Bird Observatory, Jason Beeson has surveyed yellow-billed cuckoos and monitored the breeding sites of great blue herons, snowy egrets, and other water birds. I talked to Jason recently at the farm he owns with his wife, Carrie, near the North Fork of the Gunnison. While most observatory staff are located on the Front Range, Jason feels lucky to be based in Paonia. His latest project will take him west and north of here.
I'm leaving for California, and then we're going to go to Idaho and try to put some tracking devices on some black swifts, trying to figure out where they go in the wintertime.
You must have very, very light little devices on them.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they couldn't fly.
Yeah, right? Yeah, it's only like a gram. It's pretty amazing. They just came up with these devices called light-level geolocators, and they basically just determine, you know, when the sun comes up and when it goes down and like the times, so you can kind of triangulate where the birds are.
A similar study was done locally.
We had no idea where the species went in the wintertime. There was literally no records for black swifts in the winter. It's like they went to the moon or something. You know, they just fell off the planet. But now we know they, at least the Colorado birds, go to Brazil.
So now you know. To follow birds' arrival and departure dates, see the observations of other birders, or read the 2013 State of the Birds report, go to ebird.org, a site run by Cornell University. For KVNF News, I'm Marty Derlin. The world's soil is in trouble. Ecologists say without dramatic changes to how we manage land, vast swaths of grassland are at risk of turning into hard-packed desert. Farmers and ranchers know in a few decades they'll have to feed a lot more people, while at the same time keep the soil healthy and make money doing it. KUNC and Harvest Public Media reporter Luke Runyon takes us to eastern Colorado, where researchers are turning to some unexpected partners to revive the soil.
Conventional wisdom would tell you if you're seeing less grass on the land, rein in the cows. Nature Conservancy ecologist William Burnage says that's not entirely true.
Plants actually respond to grazing. It actually stimulates growth in some ways.
We're standing just beyond a fence at the Fox Ranch, a few miles west of the Kansas border. The 14,000-acre property, owned by the Nature Conservancy, is part of a grand experiment. Researchers are putting in practice something called holistic management, or planned grazing.
So here's the ranch.
A large sheet of paper shows the ranch in full. A green trough snakes across the map.
That's the Rickery River.
I'm guessing a map like this probably plays pretty heavily into the planning process.
Boy, we use the map a lot. Yeah, the yellow lines on the map are the fences.
This is way more involved than your average rotational grazing system, which many ranchers already use. Here's how planned grazing works. A detailed chart drives every decision made on the ranch. At the beginning of each season, you plot out your moves on the map, like a Monopoly board. Better grass on the eastern side, you'll keep your cows there longer, but not too long. The cattle have to keep moving. The thought is the animals' hooves push on the soil, helping it to retain more rainfall.
You're only ever approximating what wild animals did, you know, when there weren't any people or fences to tell them what to do. But it's reasonable to think that they tried to stay on the forage that was best for them at the time.
The most common word tied to the planned grazing movement is mimicry, as in mimicking the prehistoric herds of large mammals that moved across the Great Plains. But the philosophy behind holistic management goes further. Ranchers should make a living using it.
When I learned about it, about that style of grazing, you know, the basis was everybody was producing more grass.
That's Nathan Andrews, the young rancher who leases the Fox Ranch to run his cattle.
And it's hard to, as a producer, to argue with more grass because we never have enough grass.
At the Fox Ranch, the emphasis is on documentation because the Nature Conservancy wants evidence that this approach works before telling other ranchers to try it out. The godfather of this grazing technique is Alan Savory. He's a world-renowned activist who wants to pull ranchers across the world out of poverty. He splits his time between New Mexico and Zimbabwe.
We really get the animals in the right place at the right time, for the right reason, with the right behavior.
Savory says his style of grazing management focuses on the soil and how the cattle interact with it.
We're getting the rain that falls on the ground to soak in more, run off less, but to remain in the soil and leave the soil through the vegetation or to underground water.
But if you think the entire rangeland community is singing Kumbaya, you're wrong. Savory's methods are controversial. Most of contemporary rangeland science says Savory's basic tenets, increased cattle numbers and rapid fire grazing, have no basis. In fact, many rangeland ecologists say the only way to improve grassland is to reduce, not increase, the number of animals on it. Back at Fox Ranch, the experiment is just in its initial phases. Last year, even in the midst of drought, rancher Nathan Andrews was able to build up his herd, while many other ranchers were shedding their numbers. He counts that as a success.
So if we can benefit from it in two of the worst years on record, then I think moving forward with it will be even more beneficial.
Beneficial for his bottom line and the soil he depends on. Luke Runyon, Harvest Public Media.
Harvest Public Media reports on farm and food issues and is a collaboration of KUNC and other public media stations in the Midwest. You can find other stories or comment on this one at harvestpublicmedia.org. The Colorado Independent reports that employees of a Pueblo area newspaper signed petitions to recall Colorado Senator Angela Giron on Sunday. According to the activist group Progress Now Colorado, the Pueblo Chieftain's general manager Ray Stafford and at least two other newsroom executives from the paper signed the petitions. Progress Now claims the move violates professional ethics. The Independent reports that Stafford hasn't tried to hide his opposition to Giron in the past. He reportedly wrote an email to Giron where he stated his role at the paper and told the senator he opposed new gun regulations the state was then still considering. Progress Now has called on the newspaper to disclose to its readers that members of its upper management signed the petitions. Amy Runyon Harms, the group's Colorado director, acknowledged that ethical standards in journalism are changing, but that such changes require news organizations to be more transparent. She claimed the Chieftain is failing in that regard. Fred Brown, a politics reporter for the Denver Post and vice chairman of the Society of Professional Journalists Ethics Committee, said the Chieftain employees' actions shouldn't have been allowed. Brown claimed that, quote, if you're going to sign something like that, you've got to tell somebody, everybody. And finally, the public will get 2 more weeks to comment on a company's proposal to drill up to 108 oil wells from 12 pads on the western flanks of Grand Mesa. The Bureau of Land Management said Tuesday it's extending the deadline for comment on the preliminary environmental assessment for Fram Operating's proposal, covering some 26,000 acres east of Whitewater and south of Palisade. The Western Colorado Congress Citizens Group had asked for an extension of the comment deadline, which had been today. The preliminary environmental assessment is available online at blm.gov, and comments may be mailed to the BLM GJ public comments at blm.gov or to 2815 H Road, Grand Junction, 81506. For more information, contact BLM Natural Resource Specialist Julia Christensen at 244-3093. And that ends our newscast for today. Thanks for listening. For KVNF News, I'm Marty Derlin.